Grace to you all and peace from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a principle in screenwriting known as show, don't tell. It's just what it sounds like. It's better, more compelling to show the audience what you want them to know rather than tell them about it. One of the classic examples of showing instead of telling features my wife's first boyfriend, Aladdin. We meet Aladdin in one of the opening sequences of his self-titled Disney movie. He's being chased around the city by armed guards for the grave crime of stealing a loaf of bread. He cleverly jumps from roof to roof, swings through windows, charms strangers, dodges swinging swords, and eventually parachutes to safety off of a roof to enjoy the meager breakfast for which he is so obviously so desperate. But right as he's about to chow down, he notices two younger kids rummaging through the garbage looking for food, and he gives them everything he has. In that moment, the audience sees the truth about Aladdin. He is a diamond in the rough. This is so much more effective than a narrator simply telling the audience, and here we see Aladdin. He is homeless, orphaned, and a thief, but he has a heart of gold. That moment, when Aladdin gives away all he has, it's moving. And it's why, I believe, my wife fell in love with him. Personally, I don't see it. But luckily for her, she did marry a Disney prince. You've seen Beauty and the Beast. It's much more powerful to have something revealed or demonstrated than described. It's powerful to experience something. It seems like we're missing that in our story this morning. The reading makes it sound like Peter and John are just speaking to the people, teaching the crowd about Jesus, which is such a different phenomenon than actually encountering Jesus. Maybe that just wasn't possible anymore because Jesus no longer dwelled among them, right? Maybe since they couldn't show Jesus to the people anymore, the best they could do was tell people about him. That's the best we can do today, right? Tell people about Jesus, talk about Jesus. Except that's not what happened. Just a few verses before our reading starts, there's quite a powerful showing moment. And I argued aggressively to have those verses included in this morning's reading. I thought we needed the entirety of Acts 3rd chapter in addition to what you got. It's a joke. It was a long read. That's a long reading joke based on how long that reading was. But there is context that's helpful in Acts 3. In that moment, just a few verses earlier, Peter and John were walking into the temple when they came across a man well known to the people of Jerusalem. He'd been born with some sort of disability affecting his legs, and never in his entire life had he been able to stand or walk. And every day for years, he's 40 at the time of the story, friends or neighbors had carried him to one of the temple gates so that he could lay there and beg for money. Beg to survive. As Peter and John came near, this man called out to them, and they responded, "We have no silver or gold, but we can give you this. In the name of Jesus, stand and walk." And the man stands and walks and runs and jumps and skips and hoots and hollers and cheers and rejoices on his way into the temple. And because he's been such a fixture at the gate for so many years, this is even more conspicuous than it sounds. Wait, isn't that that guy? Yeah, didn't you give him a coin this morning? Oh man, he's been there for years. It's a pretty Jesus-y moment, isn't it? It feels exactly like one of the healing stories in the Gospels. And Peter and John are eager to keep it all about Jesus. This isn't about us, they say. Don't look over here. This is Jesus. This is his lingering effect. Some of his power and presence still hangs about in the world. And so the crowd was able, in a way, to experience Jesus. Jesus was revealed to them, made real to them, not just described to them. And they are moved, of course. Some 5,000 of them moved to the faith, meaning they put their trust in this person, Jesus. How has Jesus been made real for you? Even though none of us here have had the privilege of meeting him in the flesh, how have you experienced his grace, been transformed by it? Who has shown you his love? Show, don't tell. Revelation, more powerful than description. You know, there's one more way to talk about this. The proof is in the pudding. That's something my mom used to say to me a lot when I was a kid. I'm about to tell you a story, and I want you to know that my mother is here today, and she will have suspected much of this, but not have had it confirmed until now. One of the rules in our house was that I had to practice my string bass for 30 minutes a day, an absurdly large instrument, and of course I would lie and say that I'd done it. I would even set up the music stand and pull the bass out of its enormous pup tent case. I'd tune it, I'd even rosin up my bow, and you might be asking yourself, if you went to all that effort, why wouldn't you just practice it for a few minutes? I don't know. Just a bad kid, I guess. But my parents would come home and ask if I'd practiced, and I'd say yes, and my mom, who of course must have known what was happening, would say, "We'll see. The proof is in the pudding, and your concert is next week." In Peter and John's case, the proof was in the pudding. And the Sanhedrin, the high council putting them on trial, they knew it. The one irrefutable, stubborn fact from this whole affair was this healed man. As we heard in our text, since they could see the man who had been healed standing there, there was nothing they could say. It's one thing if the disciples were just talking about Jesus or arguing about his legacy or debating the theology, but they were in fact reflecting and extending the power of his grace still. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Jesus told Peter in his parting instructions to the disciple, "If you love me, care for my sheep." Jesus commanded all of us, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And in case there was confusion or loophole seeking, he clarified, "The person the world tells you is your enemy, God insists is your neighbor." Jesus doesn't ask for lip service, doesn't benefit from it. He is not flattered or glorified by flowery speech about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If we listen to praise and worship music while we take food away from the hungry, if we wear cross necklaces while we devour each other, what good is that? What glory to God? The proof is in the pudding. What proof is in ours? Ours as Christians? Ours as a church? When we walk out these doors to serve as disciples, what proof is in our society's pudding, our nation's, this world's? Jesus is still with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves them, all the thems, the ones in your backyard and the ones across the ocean. Now let's go show the world what that means. Amen.